blessed attic. My name is Starlette.
Hey, Starlette.
First and foremost, I need to thank the God of my understanding for allowing me another day clean and allowing me to show up for my recovery today. I'm truly, truly blessed. I would like to thank NJRCNA for inviting me down here to share at this workshop. And the topic is courage. And it took a whole lot of courage for me to say yes and to come up here. It's not that I don't have the experience, strength, or the hope, but, you know, sometimes self will get in the way and, you know, nervousness and stuff like that there. And I would like to thank my sponsor's sponsor. There was a meeting today about sponsorship, so I got to be careful how I word stuff, for praying with me earlier. And, like, I remember, like, letting everybody know in my life about me sharing. And, like, the hope that she gave me was, you know what, Starlette, all you have to do is go give your experience, your strength, and your hope. And that helped me keep it simple all the way up until this point. So I would like to invite God in, which I've already done, and just ask God to use me as the vessel that he's chosen to use tonight. Courage. I'm not a first-time winner. I came in here in April 27th of 1999. I stayed for 3 years. I went through the TC community and a couple of rehabs or whatever. And May of 2002, I made a decision to go out and use. At that particular time, I was in a very unhealthy relationship. I knew I was in an unhealthy relationship. And I allowed the feelings of that relationship to push me out the door. And I need to share, like, when I came in here, I came in here with everything, you know what I'm saying? I was recovering to the best of my ability. I was writing on steps. Not only was I writing, but I was applying it to my life to the best of my ability. And, like, at a real short period of time, you know, I celebrated April 27th of 2002, and, like, May 10th, I made the decision to go use. I was riding down the highway. I don't know what's going on with the lights, but I was riding down the highway with my cell phone on the passenger seat of the car. And this program telling me, pick up the phone before you pick up the drug. And you know what? Even to this day, I don't know what happened. I don't know why I made the decision that I made. All I know is that I picked up and I used. And I stayed out there for 2 months and you know, went through whatever it is that I had to go through. And I got back. And when I came back, you know, I don't even know if it was courage or not. I just know I had reached the bottom, and, like, I had to get back. And the only thing that I knew was Narcotics Anonymous. The only thing I knew was the sponsor family that I had. The only thing that I knew, and one thing that I did do while using, was stay connected with my sponsor. Tashera, I love you. Thank you for showing up for me. I called my sponsor, and, like, you know, I made it back down to Monmouth County. I was in Union County using, where my ex was at, and God removed her out of my life, put her back in jail. So I ain't had nowhere else to go but back to Monmouth County. And, like, I remember the day of coming back. You know, I had did some things. My car was, like, under construction, and I got my window fixed. I ain't gonna say too much because I don't know if them people still looking for me or not. But I made it back to Monmouth County, and, like, the sponsee family that I'm in was having a get-together. And I had a broken jaw. You know, I was, like, really, really beat down, you know, and looking like, I don't know, I heard somebody say whale crap, the bottom of the, well, anyway, I was looking really pretty messed up. Lost a lot of weight. But I had the courage to go to this sponsee gathering. And they loved me, you know. I still wasn't able to love myself, though. You know, I came back and I stayed clean. That's all I did. Would stay clean for 5 months. Immediately got into another relationship because Starlette was still not ready to deal with Starlette, look at Starlette, learn to love Starlette. I didn't have enough courage to do that. So needless to say, January 5th, 2003, I used again. And, like, what I got in touch with since I've been back, God blessed me with 4 years recently in May of this year. And, like, what I got in touch with is that the time that I was here, in the beginning, I wasn't loving myself. And to me, that's a very vital point for my recovery. If I can't love me, if I don't learn to love me, I cannot learn to love anybody else whether it be an intimate relationship, any kind of relationship. Starlet had to learn how to love Starlet. And just for the day, that's where I'm at. You know, loving myself, having the courage to love myself. You know, in the process of my addiction, I learned that I was HIV positive. I learned that my daughter was HIV positive. And just recently, I really started dealing with being HIV positive. The God of my understanding has truly blessed me to have the courage to talk about it more, to face the reality of it, to understand and know that if I take care of myself because I'm loving myself today and I show up for myself, that I don't have to die from that disease. Mm-hmm. Even though that there's people that are in this fellowship that I know may have passed away, their story is their story and my story is mine. And if I stay on the right path and allow God to just do what God do, you know, I don't claim anything. The doctors can say whatever they want. The diagnosis can be whatever it can be. I know the God that I serve. I know where God brought me from. And I just thank God for his grace, for his mercy, for just blessing me with life yet again. Narcotics Anonymous has given me another life. I relapsed, and he gave me another chance. And like giving myself, allowing myself to come back up in here. I'm a little nervous, you know, but anyway, allowing myself, God allowing me to come back up in here. And like the second time that I had came back and I went back out and used, you know, I didn't have enough courage to forgive myself. Forgive myself for the fact that I came in, I went through whatever I had to go through. And like, you know, I just allowed the blessings of God to just go out the door. You know, I turned my back on the God of my understanding and just said, like, you know what, you take this recovery and basically shove it. You know, and God didn't give up on me. And I'm truly grateful for that, because when a lot of people gave up on me, like my children's father, you know, just, you know, people, some people gave up on me. And like, I'm really grateful for those that continue to pray for me. I'm really grateful for the prayer that's in the meetings in the beginning and in the end, because I truly believe that that's what helped me get back. I am definitely a miracle. And I'm so grateful. I'm like overwhelmed, because like, I remember the first convention that I went to, and like, I was so in awe. Well, like, you know, going to the workshops and, you know, the banquet speakers, the opening speaker and the spiritual brunch speaker. And like, never in my wildest dreams, when I got the email of being invited down here, I was like, this is some old mess here, you know, because I'm dealing with today, like the courage of feeling worthy enough. Worthy for what? Worthy to be living. Worthy to be a sponsor. Worthy to be a sponsee. Worthy of being a mother to my three children who God blessed me with. I used with my kids, I mean, all the way up to the point to the hospital. My oldest daughter, who is 16 years old, is a straight A student. I mean, I smoke with her like I've smoked. I mean, like, y'all know, I'm pretty sure I got some identification up in this piece. And like, she's a straight A student. Nothing that I've done, God did it. And I know God did it. My middle child, who is HIV positive, straight A, honor roll, student. She, oh God. She's been in the hospital twice. And I'm telling you, her spirit alone is so strong and so powerful. Her spirit gives me the courage to fight, to hold on, and to do what it is that I need to do as a mother. And I'm telling you, I ran from that responsibility. Why? Because I didn't want the kids in the first place. I was using. I wanted to get high. So if I had to lay down to get the money that I needed to get high, that's what I was going to do. And my kid's father, as wonderful of a man that he is, he thought that by getting me pregnant that I was going to slow down. And all it did was increase it even more so. But you know what? Today I'm grateful. I'm grateful for everything that I've been through in my life. I really am. I don't regret anything. I don't regret nothing. I mean, you know, When I think where God has brought me from, I am not confused who is in control of my life today. I'm not confused about anything anymore. I know God got me no matter what. When I came back this time too, you know, I'm talking about the HIV and like also need to talk about being diabetic. I also need to talk about having high blood pressure. And I talk about these things because, like, anybody who may be struggling, because, like, I take a lot of medication that I don't like to take. But you know what? God gives me the courage every morning to get up and to take my medicine simply because I'm learning how to love Starlette today. And it's not very easy because on a lot of days, guilt and shame want to, like, rob me and make me feel some kind of way because of my daughter being HIV positive. On a lot of days, I just want to, like, make myself be punished for what it is that I did to her. And what helps me get through that is the fact that when I was using, I wasn't responsible. Now that I'm clean, I'm responsible. What am I responsible for? I'm responsible for showing up for my daughter. I'm responsible for her going to get her blood work. I'm responsible for to make sure that she takes her medicine. I'm responsible for her, helping her to live her life as God allows me to do so. I know that God just like blessed me with the kids. I know that they are his kids, and he's just using me to help guide them through their life. And I'm so grateful because, like, you know, I listen to a lot of stories where, you know, kids go through whatever with active parents, and like they off the chain, they in gangs, they locked up, they doing all kinds of things, and like, you know what, that's just for today, excuse me, that is not my story. And I'm grateful, and I'm not gloating or bragging, I'm blessed because I remember going out using it and leaving my firstborn, which was 2 years old, in the crib for hours at a time, going out to trick so I can get one more. And coming back, and wouldn't come back home unless I had at least one, and came home one night, and she had climbed out of the crib and fell on the floor. I remember that. I remember a whole lot of stuff that, you know what, it helps keep my memory green. And even though I wish that before I would have relapsed that I would have, like, could have, should have, would have, but you know what? It talks about in the basic text, like, you know, if relapse is not a requirement, but it is a reality. And I'm grateful for my relapse because now there's no other evidence that I need for me to know that I cannot use successfully. I'm not waiting for nobody to come up in here and share how to use successfully. I love my life today. I'm glad that God has given me the courage to be able to love myself, know that I'm worthy, know that I'm a woman of worth today. I am. Oh, yeah, this is a gay, bi, lesbian, transgender thing. Let me hop on that right quick. I am a lesbian, African, Christian woman. I am a lesbian, African, American, Christian woman. I love God with all my heart. And I'm real grateful that, you know, this program, It gives me a lot. I also have another fellowship, but like this is not a religious program, it's a spiritual program. But like I'm real grateful because my fellowship outside of here and this fellowship combined together, because like I'm a very sick addict, y'all need to know that. Mm-hmm. Very sick. I need both to survive. I really do. And like I go to church and do all of that stuff there, and like, you know, I sing in the choir and all of that stuff there. And I'm sharing that for anybody who may be struggling with the God piece. Like, God don't love you. God loves you too. God made you just as you are. And like you need to know that. And that's about all I got to share as far as that piece there. I don't know why it was labeled gay, lesbian, or transgender, bisexual, and all that. But I'm just real grateful that I have my own experience today, knowing that God loves me for who it is that I am. I'm real grateful today that God has chose to use me, not just for here, but for outside of here. I'm real grateful that I have surrendered my total will, everything about me. I am not in control of nothing. I don't even remember what I just said, but trust and believe. Trust and believe, I know that my higher power is using me for something and for someone. And to anyone that is new, Narcotics Anonymous is the best thing popping. If you're new, don't go nowhere. You ain't got to use ever again. Ever. Ever, ever, ever. Never. Never, 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 never. That's all I got
to share. Please help me welcome our second speaker, Jerome.
Hey, Jerome.
I'm a recovering addict, and my name is Jerome. I want to thank God and this the region for asking me to come and share my experience, strength, and hope. You know, on a lot of days, I don't feel that I have experience, strength, and hope. That's my myself, my low self-esteem. A lot of people tell me that I walk with confidence, I talk with confidence, but on a lot of days, I'm a scared individual. Today is one of those days. You know, when we walked in here, I said, see, that's very ironic. They would put us in a room no bigger than a closet. Put the gays back in the closet, you know. I want to say that, first and foremost, welcome to the newcomer. Narcotics Anonymous works. If Narcotics Anonymous can work for me, it can work for anybody. The first thing that I want to say is this meeting is about courage. So the first thing I had to do was go to the dictionary and find out the definition to courage. If you don't have a dictionary, please get one, because the definition you thought it was, that wasn't what it was. That was my experience, and I'm going to talk about me. And the definition for courage is the ability to conquer fear and despair. And the definition for despair is a loss of hope. And that sums up my whole life in a nutshell. I grew up in a family, my mother and father kept having kids to have a boy. I got three sisters in front of me, and then I'm the boy. And my father named me Junior because he wanted me to have kids and you know, the wife and the kids and the dog and the fence and the whole nine. And I knew from a very early age that I was gay. So courage was something I did not know anything about. I was scared from the door. I was fearful from the door because I didn't want my family to not love me. My family, the three things that I wanted my family, the three words I wanted my family to say to me was, I love you. I never got that, but I got everything that I could ever think of. I was spoiled rotten. I was the only boy in a house full of women. So I got everything and anything that I could ever think of. All I had to do was ask for it, and I got it. Morals was something that my family, I didn't grow up on welfare or anything like that. My family worked. I grew up in a beautiful home in an upper middle class area. I was well educated, but that's not what I wanted. I wanted what they had on the corner. That looked more impressive to me than my family getting up and going to work every day. My sisters getting up. My sisters worked. Work was not something that I was required to do. I told you I was spoiled. Nobody said to me, Jerome, you need to get up and get a job. Nobody didn't know. No, what I did was hit my sisters when they got paid. Let me get $50. Let me get $20. Let me get $20. Let me get $20. By the time I left, I had $150. I was good to go. What do I need a job for? You know? And if you've got kids, please don't spoil them like that, because they turn out to be just like me. Totally self-centered. I could care less. I can remember my sister being 9 months pregnant. My sister was bedridden. Couldn't go nowhere after 5 months because she's got rare blood. So after 5 months, the doctor put her in the on bed rest. And I wanted to use the car to go down north to get some weed. And she said, I'll give you the car, but I need you to please get me some Pepto-Bismol. I'm so sick. And I said, all right, sure. Went and got the weed, smoked the joint, and totally forgot all about my sister. You know, when I got back, all she could do was cry and said, you're just a dirty motherfucker. That's all you are. You don't care about nobody but yourself. You act like the world owes you something. And yeah, whatever. That's how it went. Yeah, whatever. Here's your Pepto-Bismol 8 hours later. You know, I didn't care about nobody but myself. It took a lot of courage for me to just leave the house. I got tired of being in a house where they kept pushing down my throat that I needed to be something that I knew I couldn't be. My family wanted me to be straight, and I knew I was gay. That took a lot of courage for me to admit it to myself. But knowing and accepting is two different things. I knew I was gay, but acceptance was something that came when I came into the rooms of Narcotics Anonymous. And I'm still, on certain days, I don't want to accept it. It's real hard to accept something about yourself where all races, all religions are against. It takes a lot of courage for me to stand up in a room and say that I'm a gay black man where out of 80 people, there might be 10 that might walk out the room or might not like the fact that I am gay. I have to accept that and know that it's okay. It's okay. Those 10 people don't make me or break me. A lot of that may sound good, but it hurts my feelings still. You know what I'm saying? I'm a human being, and it takes a lot of courage for me to stand up in a room full of people and tell you that I'm a gay black man. A lot of people know it already, but my total self-centeredness makes me think that, no, you don't. You know? I used and used and used because, and the reason that I used is because I found my courage in a bag of dope. I found my courage in a joint. I found my courage in a drink. Whenever I drank or I smoked some weed, you could find me anywhere because you could hear my mouth. I was in the middle of a crowd talking shit because that's what I love to do, but I can only do it when I was high. When I wasn't high, you couldn't get two words out of me. Yes, no, whatever, because I was always fearful of, I was always trying to hide who I was. So when I was around other people that was high, nobody was really paying attention to who I was or who was I doing or who was I with. Was I straight? Was I gay? It really wasn't a question. Before I knew it, I was using, I was living to use and using to live. I don't know what happened in between that first joint and living in abandoned buildings, but it wasn't nice. Let me tell you, it wasn't nice. I used all of the 90s. I don't remember the 90s. They flew by so fast. I don't remember the 90s, you know. A lot of times I was saying it was 95. Jerome, it's 98. Oh, whatever. You know, it really didn't make a difference to me. When I came into, the reason I came into Narcotics Anonymous is because I came up one day. One day, this girl I know, she seen me. I was dope sick. And she said, I got you, I got you. And she threw a pill in my mouth, gave me a hit of some coke, and gave me a can of beer and said, you're going to be all right. I never asked what that pill was. I didn't care. She finally told me on the way out, she said, that's a Xanax stick. I had never taken a stick before. And as I was walking and drinking that beer, I came up with a bright idea that I should walk to Irvington. I was in Newark. I should walk to Irvington and go to the women's store and steal some ladies' underwear and sell it. I did that. I got busted because I ended up in the store stealing in slow motion. I was nodding in the middle of putting the shit in my damn. And then I decided to run once they realized that, you know. And when Irvington finally got me, I was 3 blocks from Newark. I don't know where I got the energy to run, but I was jumping gates, climbing fences. You know, that pill gave me some serious courage. And Irvington, when they finally got me, they whooped my ass. They beat me down because I made them run. And I fell asleep. When I woke up, I didn't even realize that I was in jail. And I looked around and I said, oh, shit, I'm in jail. And I went before the judge, and the judge said that, you know, I'm looking at your record, and you've been ROR for stealing, because boosting was my thing. That's how I got the next one. And I thought I was pretty good at it. And she said, I'm not going to let you get away this time. you're going to have to do some time. I'm going to sentence you to 90 days. Now, that may not seem like a lot of time to you, but it seemed like she just sentenced me to 90 years. Because I looked at the prosecutor, and I said, you told me I was going to be going home. Kiss a bitch. I got to do 90 days. How the hell am I going to do 90 days? I was scared to death. I was truly fearful because I didn't know what was behind bars for that long period of time. I was only in a holding cell. I never knew what it was like to go to general population. You know what I'm saying? I didn't know what that was about, and I was fearful. And I had to get some, I had to muster up some courage in order to go into general population. But you know what? God was, he was watching over me, and he placed some angels in my life. When I got to jail, I had youth in Irvington, North Elizabeth. So when I got there, I knew half the people in there. Mm-hmm. You know, and they was, you know, they took me underneath their wing and they helped me out, and I was really, 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 really happy about that. And one day, I knew I had a family member that worked in the system, but I didn't know. You know, I had left my family when I was 14 years old, so I knew he was in the system, but I didn't know how or what he did. And he seen me on my way to Eaton, and he called me by my full name, and I turned around, and it was like he had a halo over his head. I was so glad to see him with a uniform on. And he said, I thought that was you on the roster. I just wanted to make sure. He said, when are you going to get your life together? I said, right now would be a real good time. You know, because I thought he was going to reach in his pocket and bail me out. And he said, I'm not going to bail you out. He said, but I can't get you out of here because I know how fierce it is up in here. So I can't get you out of here. And he put me into a program. And I thank God for my cousin. I speak to him all the time. And I tell him all the time, I love you, I love you, I love you, because you saved me. You saved my life. You know what I'm saying? And that just snowball effect on how I got to Narcotics Anonymous. But the one thing why I stayed in Narcotics Anonymous was I heard H&I came to the facility that I was at, and they said one thing, and I thought that I was an intelligent individual, but this person said one very simple thing. He said, if you want to stop going to jail, stop using. That's some real simple shit. And it was like a light bulb went off in my head, like, oh, shit. Why didn't I think of that? Because I don't want to go to jail no more. I don't want to, look, jail, look, straight and narrow for my ass, jail woke me up. It opened my mind to a whole lot of shit. Let me tell you, I was really open-minded after that point. And God placed some people in my life after that. And I came into Narcotics Anonymous. And let me tell you something, it took a lot of courage for me to walk into Narcotics Anonymous. Now I didn't have any drugs to mask who I was. I didn't have any drugs to be able to stand in the middle of the room and tell you that and act out who I thought I wanted to be. I had to come here and be honest with y'all with no drugs in my system. That took, I don't know about y'all, but I was fearful. I was scared. And the reason that I was scared, because I didn't think that y'all would like me. I didn't even think that y'all would even want to give me a hug or get to know who I am. And I got some beautiful people in my life today that love me for me. And it has nothing to do with I'm a gay man. It has nothing to do with that. It has everything to do with who I am and the person that I've become through the step work and process. I want to tell you that if you are scared of you, pick up that pen and paper and write. Let me tell you something. The 12 steps and the 12 traditions saved my life because I'm able to sit in front of y'all and be me. I'm able to sit in front of a group of people, and yes, there'll be people that's not going to like me. So what? It really doesn't matter as much anymore. It still matters, just not as much. Just not as much. It took a lot of courage for me to, because like I started off saying, there's a difference between knowing and accepting. And when I got to that first step and I accepted the fact that I'm a gay black man, because there was always in my mind, I thought that maybe, and I was fearful of step work because I was scared that it was going to turn me straight. I'm serious. I'm telling you my story. I thought that, you know, because I've been drilled in my head. See, learned behavior. It was hard for me to unlearn some shit. My family had put in my head that one day, that was just a phase I was going through. One day I was going to get with a woman and it was going to be all right. That's why I joined the service, because my family told me to go into the Army, find out you're going to be a man, go into the service. Let me tell you something, there was more gay activity in the service than there was on the streets, okay? I had a ball in the service. Matter of fact, I had two. There were a lot of things that my family drilled in my head that I needed to be. And I'm so glad that I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I started working some steps. Knowing and accepting in the first step was something that I had to get with. And I'm thank God, if you don't have a sponsor, please, 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 please get a sponsor. Please get a sponsor. Please don't do this by yourself. You know, I know people in my area that got 10 months clean. They ain't never had a sponsor. I don't know how the fuck they doing it. I don't know how they doing it. I'm being totally honest with you. I don't know how they doing it. I don't know how I would have did it this long without my sponsor. For real. My sponsor, listen, I call my sponsor up all the time. When I'm going through any decision, I need to call somebody else because my disease lies right up here. And my disease will tell me that something is right when it's dead wrong. And my disease will rationalize some really, and it make me think that it's okay to do what I'm getting ready to do. So I know that I need to pick up, I'm making better decisions because I'm applying the principles of the steps in my life. I'm not just coming to a meeting and sharing on it. Life goes on after the meeting. I need to take what I learned to my family, to my friends, to my work. You know what I'm saying? The people that I'm around. When someone gives me too much change back, I need to let them know, you gave me too much change back. I work in the retail industry, and a man paid for his stuff and was getting ready to walk off, and there was two crisp $100 bills sitting there. And without thinking, automatically, I said, sir, you dropped your money. My disease said, what the fuck? You know what I'm saying? What are you doing? That was $200. You know, I had to call somebody. I called my sponsor. My disease wanted me to, you know, but it was done and it was over with. But my disease, it keeps playing things over and over and over in my head, making me think that I did the wrong thing. I made the wrong decision. So I'm glad that I came into Narcotics Anonymous and I started learning about me because it gave me courage to move on in the step working process. And I'm not going to go over all the steps, but I am going to pull some things out that I learned in each one of the steps. And each one of the steps is... Let me tell you something. It took a lot of courage for me to learn, for me to not know it all. Because I'm a know-it-all. I know it all. It took a lot for me. It took a lot of courage for me to sit back and allow somebody to teach me, and me not being the one that's always got all the damn answers. You know what I'm saying? Sit back and let somebody else drive. Damn. You always got all the answers. You know what I'm saying? Shut up. You know, I need somebody to tell me, shut up, Jerome. Shut up. Just shut up. You don't know what you're talking about. Because I lied for so long. One of my character defects was lying. I had to be somebody that I wasn't. Always. When I was in a room full of people, I had to pretend to be something I wasn't. You know, if you went to Paris, so did I. Did that. Been there, done that. Ain't never been to Paris a day in my life. You know, I had to, and that it took a lot of courage for me to stop lying. I had to stop all that damn lying. And on a lot of days, I still lie. I ain't gonna lie. I can't sit here and lie to you and say that I stopped lying altogether. That would be lying again. I don't lie as much. And my lies are not as fantastic as they was when I first came in here. Because when I first came in here, my lies was fantastic. And I could tell it with a straight face. And there's certain parts of my story that I can't tell because, to be honest with you, I don't know if it's a lie or if it's the truth. I lied about it so damn... I can remember standing in front of something, getting ready to order me something to eat. And I said, you know what? No, I don't want no onions. Because onions, you know, they mess with my stomach. Then I said, wait a minute. No, they don't. That was something I lied about. I could eat onions. The disease runs deep. It runs deep. I don't know about your disease, but my disease runs deep. You know what I'm saying? There's a lot of, just for today, I'm able to sit in front of y'all and tell y'all about me, and we can laugh and joke, and it's okay. You know, I know that y'all not laughing at me. Y'all laughing with me. You know what I'm saying? Because there was a time when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, and when I walked past a room, or if I walked in a room and somebody started laughing, I immediately thought they were laughing at me. So when I came into Narcotics Anonymous, I dressed up the outside because I didn't want nobody to ever say a damn word about me when I walked in the room. So when I walked in the room, I was sharp from head to toe. I wasn't giving you a second to see, sharp from head to toe. Wearing leather from head to toe. Silk from head to toe. Linen from head to toe. But guess what? I wasn't taking care of the inside. I was still sick as hell. I was that person sitting there with a $300 outfit, sick as hell on the inside. Just crying on the inside, wanting somebody to hug me, wanting somebody to come to me and ask me, how's your day? But because I put up this wall and I was sitting in the back of the meeting, coming late, leaving early, sitting in the back of the meeting with my arms folded, looking at you like, don't. When you walk up on me, I gave you the look like, what the fuck, what? Don't come, no, no, I don't want a hug. No, I don't. Don't you see what I got on? I don't hug your type. I'm being honest. I'm being totally honest. That's what my sick disease took me to. My disease took me there. And that's one of the reasons why I stayed out there so long. It's because I grew up in a family that, my family is very bougie. And I can be on certain days. You know what I'm saying? And my family drives around in the Benzes, and they got the houses, and they got the houses. You know, and I got to realize that I'm an addict. And I was living in abandoned buildings. They didn't go through that. I went through that. You know what I'm saying? And I can't allow them to dictate my life. I got to keep continuously working on me. I got to make sure that I don't let my disease. I have to. The step working process allows me to see myself coming. That's what the step working process has done for me. I know when my disease get ready to act up, but a lot of times my disease will tell me I ain't bugging. I got a disease that tells me that I don't suffer from a disease. That's some deep shit. You know what I'm saying? On a lot of days, I'll know that I'm doing wrong and still do it. Knowing the outcome. And I'll still do it. But you know what? I'm not making the same mistakes I was a year ago. Shit, I'm not making the same mistakes I made 2 months ago. I'm constantly peeling that onion and finding out more and more about me. And there's more to me than just a gay black man. There is so much more to me. I'm not one-dimensional at all. There are a lot of things about me that I'm learning through y'all. Y'all are telling me about myself. I didn't know I was funny. I thought that I was just being me. You know what I'm saying? And people tell me all the time, you are funny. I didn't know that. I work in the retail industry. I've never done it before. Somebody said to me, I'm going to share this in closing because I got to talk about God before I close. I was that type of person. I know you gave me this. Hold on, I'm coming. I was the type of person that when I look back on when I came through the door to today, God has been with me way before then. Yeah. And God is with me now. My life is so much better today at 6 years clean than it was when I walked through the door. And God is continuously working in my life. Real quick. I was working in New York. I had the dream job. I always wanted to work in New York. I got it. Always wanted to have my own house. I got it. I want a brand new car. I got it. And I was working on myself on the inside. And God said, it's time for you to leave that job in New York. And I left the job in New York, and I've been working here, there, and everywhere. And I just recently, let me show you how God has to work in my life. Because of my self-centeredness and because I'm always putting myself here, I'll miss the blessing. God will be blessing me. He'll be throwing something in my face, and I'll miss it because I'm so far, I'm up ahead of him. I'm so far ahead of myself. God placed me in a job, and then I had to get a second job. That second job, I would have never went for that job as a first job. I went for that job as a second job. When I went there, my boss asked me immediately, have you ever done this before? I said, no, I've never done retail before in my life. He said, you've got a knack for it. You should do this. I want you to be a manager. I want to put you in the management position. I said, what? You just met me. He said, I think you got what it takes to be a manager. So I'm in the position to have to get rid of my first job and go to this second job full time, making more money than I could imagine. God is good. God had to come at me because of my up here, there's no way I would have went to that job first. I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have went to that job, but because God had to place me in a job and say, this is not enough. You got to get more because you're not paying your bills. And I went and got a second job. And just for the day, I want to read this and then I'm closed. I'm going to shut up. When we forget where our real strength lies, we quickly become subject to the same patterns of thinking and actions that got us to the program in the first place. I got to always remember that God first.
Yes.
Yep.
And when I put him first, everything else just falls into place. That's all I have.